After 11 days of fighting, more than 230 Palestinians are dead and thousands injured, and also 12 Israelis dead, with hundreds injured. Then last night, news of a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. Dan Williams of Reuters news agency has the latest developments. Dan, tell us how this ceasefire came about.
Well, it seemed to have been the result of intensive behind-the-scenes mediation. Mediation, obviously, because Israel and Hamas do not directly engage. Hamas is the main fighting group, the Islamist group that controls Gaza. So this was helmed by the United States, but I think much of the heavy lifting was done by Egypt, which put into effect, at quite short notice, a ceasefire as of 2 o'clock in the morning.
The question is whether the ceasefire will hold and what happens now.
Well, it seems to be holding so far. I think neither side has an interest in reigniting this. It's worth remembering, however, that things can change very quickly. It is a Friday. Friday is a Muslim prayer day. And in Jerusalem, all eyes will be on the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, which arguably ignited, in part, the conflict in Gaza, though it's 50 kilometers away. Things can change. However, I think everyone realizes that this could have been another Gaza war had it continued. And the devastation within Gaza is extensive. Hamas will have to reckon with that. In Israel, I think there's a degree of surprise at the ferocity of the Hamas rocket attacks on cities and towns, including Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. I think there's also a degree of shock at the sense that public opinion worldwide has turned in part against Israel.
The Israeli military were briefing throughout the past 11 days that there was more to do, that they had specific targets, that they were seeking to wipe out Hamas's capability to send fire rockets at Israel. So what did the 11 days of air attacks achieve?
Much of it is hard to judge, not least as the Palestinians, even down to the death toll of combatants, the Palestinian authorities in Gaza are not confirming. According to Israel, it killed 160 combatants, including quite senior military commanders, not the political echelon of Hamas or Islamic Jihad, but the military commanders there. Israel also says it's extensively damaged the rocket capacity and what it calls the metro, which is an underground tunnel and network and bomb shelter network in the Gaza Strip. So according to Israel, the capabilities have been set back by years, potentially. I think time will tell. And I think there's a sense on the Israeli side that perhaps the military objective was exhausted. Perhaps not all the military targets were achieved. Perhaps Israel rushed into using contingency plans, secret contingency plans, because it may not have anticipated that this trading of blows would escalate the way it did.
The situation in Gaza after 11 days of bombardment?
Tens of thousands of people are displaced from their homes. Gaza was already destitute. Now the situation is far worse. There's going to be a lot of talk of how to rehabilitate the Strip. The U.S. President Joe Biden said yesterday in announcing the ceasefire, welcoming it half an hour before it went into effect, he said, among other things, that Washington, in coordination with the United Nations, would work on bringing in humanitarian aid. But he also said something interesting, that they would work to guarantee that such aid bypasses Hamas's military capabilities, that it's not diverted to allow Hamas to replenish its rockets, to rebuild its underground command and control systems. It's hard to know how this could be done, given that Hamas controls Gaza. Biden also spoke about using the situation to bolster Hamas's, more secular rival, the Palestinian president of the West Bank. He's widely accepted in the international community. In the past, he has had peace talks with Israel. Hamas refuses peace talks with Israel. But again, he governs within the West Bank, a long way away from Gaza, has very little standing or credibility within Gaza. So I'm not quite sure how those mechanisms are meant to work.
And what next for Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, and his attempts now to form a government?
Well, he's been heading a caretaker government, and you might want to call it a caretaker emergency government, a wartime government, over the last 11 days. One of his fiercest critics in the outgoing government, the previous government, his defense minister, worked very well with him. It was quite obvious that their partnership was actually improved thanks to this crisis. Now, two of Netanyahu's rivals were tasked before this crisis with forming an alternative government to him after an inconclusive April 23rd election. Their efforts now seem to have soured completely. They fell apart because of this crisis and differences of opinion on ideology, etc. So it could just be that the clock on their mandate will run out, and eventually this situation will go back to the Israeli voter, and there'll be a fifth election in something like 2 years.
Dan Williams of Reuters News Agency, thank you for that.